It's good to see all of you this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. If you are visiting and you have any questions about what we do here, how we worship, anything that's said or spoken here from the pulpit, feel free to ask. We're not ashamed of anything that we do here. We're not going to try to hide anything. So if you have any questions about what's said or done here or anything, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, if you have any questions about what we do, we'd be glad to answer any of your questions. The Bible speaks a lot of times, many times, about examples. All of us are examples. Daddies, how many times have you caught your children, you especially your sons, walking in your footsteps? I remember one time when my daddy went squirrel hunting, and it seemed like there was a foot of snow on the ground. I was young enough, I didn't have any other brothers, I don't think, at the time. If I did, they were babies and still in the house. But Daddy's traipsing up through the snow, and I'm trying to step in his footsteps. You can't do it. But I was trying my best to hit every footstep that he made. I've got a granddaughter right now that doesn't realize that she's an example. She has this catchphrase, if you will, every time she sees me, it's, "Papa, guess what?" Well, I ask her what, and she loses all track of what she's trying to say, so I've quit asking her what. But now her younger brother goes, "Papa, guess what?" Everybody's watching. Everybody's watching you and I. And it doesn't matter what we may be doing. We may be scolding the dog in the corner, and the kids are watching. They're watching you. Daddies, they're watching you when you shave, if you shave. Some of us don't shave as much as we used to. But your grandsons and your sons are watching. They want to know why you do certain things and what you're doing. With that in mind, let's think about, do we want them imitating us? Because they're going to imitate us. They're going to follow our lead, our example. Like I said, the Bible speaks of many examples throughout the pages of Scripture. Imitating those who are a good example. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." Paul says, "Look to me, I'll be your example." I wonder what we would do if we told someone else, "You be my, I'll be your example." Would they look at us and go, "Yeah, right. Am I supposed to follow you on how to be a Christian? How to be a hypocrite? How to be a backslider?" Paul would also address the brethren at Philippi in chapter 3 and verse 17. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." Paul says, follow me, follow the apostles, and notice their pattern, their example. The Hebrew writer, whom we assume is Paul based upon the way the writing is written, says in chapter 13 and verse 7, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Being a good example is what we should be to others. And you know, we sometimes think, well, I'm older, I've got to be the good example. Sometimes the younger are a better example. Paul would tell the young preacher Timothy in chapter 4 of the first letter in verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Timothy, you be an example. Even though you're young, you be an example to everyone on how they should live. Now, when we think about these scriptures, they ought to make us stop and go, who is my example? Do I look at anybody here at Eastside and, well, yeah, that's who I want to be my example? And let's ask another question. Whose example am I as a Christian? And what kind of example do I set as a Christian? That's going to be our points for this morning. Examples that are worth following, or what kind of example are you? So let's consider these questions, and as we go, let's examine them more carefully. So who is your example? Well, first of all, I'm going to ask you, is it the Lord? That's who it ought to be. Jesus was an example for the Apostle Paul. Remember 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Christ should be our first and foremost example. He ought to be the one that we turn to and say, well, that's what I'm going to do. And then there's going to be people that argue with you. Well, he was perfect. I know he was. But even the world wants to follow Jesus. It hadn't been that many years ago that everybody wore the little rubber wristbands. WWJD. What would Jesus do? By asking that question, they're wanting to follow his example. Another example, well, when we think about Christ being our example, he should be an example for everyone. And Paul, as we stated from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, should be our example. Paul was speaking Romans 15, verses 1 through 3, on how we ought to be an example to please one another. Are we? Now, I'm not saying please those who are in sin, but we ought to be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 talks about Paul is an example on how we ought to love one another. And then we go back to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and Paul says, I'm an example on how to look out for one another. Are we doing that? Are we watching our brothers and sisters to make sure that if they stumble, I'm there to pick them up? Or is it when the final amen is said, I'm gone. See you next time. Oh, we may have our select few that we want to check on, but I ain't going to worry about the rest of them. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verses 20 through 23, on how to suffer patiently when we're mistreated. And Paul was certainly an example of that. And Jesus certainly serves as our prime example. But is Paul your example? He urged the Corinthians to follow his example. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, and especially chapter 11 and verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32, he talked about, let me be an example to give no offense to someone. Have you ever offended another brother or sister in Christ? What was your attitude? They'll get over it. You try to work it out? Did you hurt their feelings? You see, Paul, even though Peter was an apostle, withstood him to the face. And then they overcame that. In the same passage, the very next verse, Paul says that we ought to seek the benefit of others. And that's what he urged the Corinthian Christians to do. But he also encouraged those in Philippi, in chapter 3, to not consider themselves as having attained perfection. I haven't. Have you? Who among us has attained perfection as a child of God? And that's what he talks about in verse 12 of chapter 3. He goes on in that same verse and tells us that even though we haven't attained perfection, we need to press on trying to mature ourselves in our faith. And then when you drop down to verse 16 of chapter 3, he talks about that we need to live according to the level that they have learned. No one in this room has the same amount of spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom, as the people around them. There's always somebody that's going to be smarter than me. And that's one thing I love about our Bible class in the auditorium anyway, is I may overlook something, I may look at a passage wrong, and I've always got a brother, possibly a sister, that's going to help me understand it better. Whether it's in the Bible class period or afterwards. And I greatly appreciate that. Because I am not perfect. I am human. But I live according to the level of knowledge that I have. And I appreciate when people want to correct me or at least ask me about something. In the next chapter of the book of Philippians, in chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul talks about or urges the Philippi brethren there to enjoy a close relationship with the God of peace. If we live this way, in the way that Paul has urged both the Corinthians and the brethren at Philippi, shouldn't people want to imitate us? To follow our example? And if we see someone that's living in this way, shouldn't we want to exemplify them, follow their example, imitate them? Paul would praise and encourage the brethren of Thessalonica in chapter 1 of the first letter for receiving the word despite their affliction. They suffered greatly, but yet they still had a desire to know what the word of God was. And in the second letter, in chapter 3, he talks about that they were being praised and encouraged for avoiding being a burden to others. So what I see here is that Paul and other New Testament Christians can provide wonderful examples for us. So who is your example? Is it the Lord? Most certainly he ought to be. Is it the Apostle Paul? Another good example for us to follow. But let's make this a little more personal. Is it other faithful Christians that are in your life? Are they your example? You see, Paul exhorted the brethren at Philippi in chapter 3 and verse 17 to take note of those who were walking like he was. If people are walking according to the word of God, we need to let them be our example so that we can learn better how to walk in the pathway of righteousness. And Paul says to consider them as a pattern to follow. Also, we're encouraged by the Hebrew writer to imitate the faith and patience of those who inherit the promises. We read this in chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. The Hebrew writer here says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." That's why later on we have chapter 11. Faith's Hall of Fame, if you will. They are an example for us. And chapter 12 talks about that they ran the race. And they are the ones that have cleared the stumbling blocks out of our pathway. Let them be your example. Let them be our example. And to follow their faith, the faith of those who rule over you. We noticed this passage a moment ago at the beginning of the lesson, Hebrews 13, verse 7. The writer says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow." Now, most people would agree that this is most likely talking about the eldership in the churches. Follow their example. Follow their faith, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, other translations would talk about consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's the New International Version, the English Standard Version, and the American Standard Version. Talks about imitate their faith. That's our brethren. That's people among us. That we ought to be able to look out amongst us and find people that we can follow their example of faith. Can you do that? Have you been able to find some here that you could follow their example of faith? Are you one that they could say, "I'm following you"? They may not tell you that, but brethren, we ought to be living in a way that people are watching. Many Christians today provide examples that are worthy of our imitation. Whose example are you following? You are imitating either Christ or some other Christian, whether they're alive or dead. Does your life suggest that the example that you're following is less than exemplary? Are you like the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3? Remember what Jesus said to that church? He says in verse 14, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Would that be said about our example? The way that we're living our lives? Can anybody look to us, look to me, and say, "I can't follow you. I've watched you. I am watching you, and I cannot follow your example"? Or do they look to you and say, "You're who I want to follow"? Closely related to this is the question, whose example are you? Is it not that you are an example to other Christians, your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Especially those who might be babes in Christ, those who are beginners, who are just starting this marathon of a run. As we talked about last week, there are people that are running their race of faith and they need you to be the example. But not only just babes in Christ, even older Christians need younger Christians to be that boost of energy, that excitement, that enthusiasm, maybe that they don't have anymore. You know, we all as Christians should be mindful of our example that we have on one another. Years ago, many years ago, I was teaching a high school class. And most of the kids in this class had obeyed the gospel. They're Christians. And I had all kinds of trouble. There were three or four of them that, boys, that liked to rear back on the chair on two legs and prop up against the wall and teach. I was teaching a class, and it's frustrating because they're not wanting to listen. They're wanting to do the class the way they wanted to do it. And finally, I just told them, I said, "Listen, you either follow what I'm teaching in this class or I'm going to take you to the elders." Not to our mom and daddy. No, you're Christians. I'm not taking you to your mom and daddy. I'm going to take you to the elders. So first of all, the chair has 4 feet. They all four belong on the table, on the floor. And you will mind me in this class, and you will listen, and you will participate. Afterwards, I got to thinking, I shot my foot. I'm not going to have any chance of teaching these young people because I was too harsh on them. After that quarter or semester, whatever it was over with, one of the young boys that I had been particularly hard on, I felt, come up to me in the parking lot after services. And I don't know if he stole it from his daddy or what, but he knew that I was an Atlanta Braves ball fan. And he brought me an autographed bat. And he said, "I want you to have this because you helped me." I didn't know what to say. How many times have you watched as you worship and the young people are watching you? And this is especially true, mamas and daddies and grannies and papas. The young people are going to watch you, but they're going to watch the other folks as well. What's the old phrase say? Be careful what you say because little ears are listening, or something to that effect. Christians always ought to be mindful of the example that they're making on other people. Paul speaks of this in 1 Thessalonians 1. He spoke to the young preacher Timothy in chapter 4 of the first letter, and to the other young preacher Titus in chapter 2. Isn't it to the young children that we are to be an example to? Who naturally are going to look up to their parents, but they're also going to look up to other people that they come into contact with. Whether they're in the church or out of the church. And really, that right there ought to help young parents help to direct the pathway that their children are on. Because if they're going to look up for someone to be an example, wouldn't you rather it be a Christian as compared to someone in the world? Adults, you want your children to be like you. Older, younger children, you want them all to grow up in the Lord. And Christians should be mindful of the example that they're making and leaving upon young people. Young people are important. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 6, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." So let me ask you, as we are considering our being an example to the young people especially, if I'm a bad example, if, as Jesus says here, cause one to sin, or as some translations say, stumble, have you considered the outcome of what Jesus said would be best for you? Are we not also examples for the unbelievers who see that if we're walking the talk, living the life that we preach about when we're sitting around the break table or whatever? And they're often going to gauge the church based upon our example. Their impression of what the church is going to be is going to be based upon their conversations and interactions with us. And it's sad to say, but they're going to judge the rest of the members by what example you set. And Christians need to be mindful of their example, because that's what the world sees. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims," we're just here for a short time, "abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Now notice verse 12, "having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles," those outside, "that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, your good example, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." What would people in the world say about our example? Now, whether we want it to be or not, we are examples to others, especially the younger in years and young in faith. But then again, let's ask this question: what kind of example are we? Our example indicates our faithfulness as a Christian, showing the world what it means to be a child of God, showing babes in Christ what it means to be a mature disciple of Christ. So is your example helping or hindering others in their discipleship? Our example is conducive to church growth when you think about it. We need to be offering a noble pattern of faithful church attendance, setting a good example of developing our abilities for Christ, and providing that worthy role model, if you will, of involvement in the service to the Lord and in His church. You know, the old adage is, we're only as strong as our weakest member. You know, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. This church is only as strong as its weakest member, its weakest example. So let's all think within ourselves here. Is my example helping or hindering others? the progress and the growth of the church here at Eastside. Along that line, is it worth imitating? Is my example worthy of imitating? Would you want a child or a new Christian to follow your example? Now, this is where we come into self-examination. I want you to look into that mirror and look at yourself. And if the church followed my example, where would we be? Where would we be if every member provided the same example as you do? Would we be a strong church? Now, wait, before you jump ahead of me, I'm not asking you to look at someone else. You're holding the mirror up to yourself. Would the church be strong if it was based upon my example that the rest of the members and the rest of the world sees? How strong is the church? Is the church going to be growing based upon my example? I'm looking. What am I seeing? Would the church have services on Sunday night and Wednesday night based upon my example? You know, there's a lot of things in this world that within themselves are not wrong. They're not sinful things. Unless they prevent us from serving God. And again, it goes back to the example that I'm setting for the church and the example I'm setting for those that I'm with possibly on Sunday night, Wednesday night, or whatever. Oh, yeah, I thought you was a member of the church out at Eastside. Well, I am. But I like doing this or I like doing that. And they know that, well, they know. Would we even have Sunday night and Wednesday night services if it was based upon my example? On your example? Let's ask this question. If it were up to your example, would the church here even exist at Eastside? And then the final question that we need to ask is your example, is my example helping or hindering the cause of Christ? I hope these questions have prompted us all to do some serious inspection on our own lives as to who is your example or role model as you live your life as a child of God, as to the sort of example or role model that you are setting for others. Do you ever have someone, well, you wouldn't know, would you, that's looking to you as their example? Even though it was written to a young preacher, I encourage us to look at what Paul says to the young preacher Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first part of verse 12, he says, "Let no one despise your youth." Notice, "but be an example to the believers in word." Timothy, you're a young man. Don't let anybody despise you because you're young. Don't let anybody put you down because you're young. You have faith. And let your faith be the example to everyone that believes. In conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You be an example in the way you live your life. Not just as a Christian, not just as a child of God, but across the board. When you're away from those of like precious faith, let the world see you be the example of you imitating Christ or imitating the Apostle Paul. You know what the scary part about this is? Somebody might say, well, I don't want to be an example to other people. I don't want to be an example to young children. I don't want to be an example to other Christians. I don't want to be. The problem with that is you can't escape it. You can't get away from either being a good example or a bad example. The only choice that we have is what kind of example that we will be. The final question is this. Are you going to be an example that they can follow? Are you an example that they can follow in knowing how to become a child of God? You see, this is an opportunity that you have here. If you're not a child of God, this is a perfect opportunity that you can have. And hopefully there's an example in your life of what needs to be done by putting Christ on in baptism and living a faithful life. But hopefully that if you've gone back into the world or you're not living the exemplary life that you ought to live as a Christian, that there's a strong enough example in your life that you know that what you're doing and how you're living is wrong. It's not pleasing to God. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to make changes? Or are you just going to keep plugging along being the poor, bad example that you are? You know, there's a way that you could be a good example if you're unfaithful. That's to acknowledge your sins as public as they are, come back to Christ, and show people it's not that difficult. And show people that you have a desire to do what's right. Are you here this morning and subject to the invitation? Be a good example. Lead others to Christ. Be a good example and obey Christ and follow Christ and live for Christ following His example. If you're here and need to respond to the invitation, I pray that you'll make your way to the front while we're standing.